Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Lunar Skywalker, and it is the second day of the Yellow Human Wave Spell, and it's a portal day, and it is the 24th day of the Electric Moon. And it is probably White Electric Wizard when you're listening, because I let my podcasting intention fall by the wayside for most of the Lunar Skywalker Day, which is probably part of the challenge I face on this day, is to be focused when it is a day of spacing out, exploring space, being outside of our body, being adrift in the dreamscape of the daytime. Daydreaming, also grappling with addiction, I suppose. Well, I know that for sure, but I don't know if that has anything to do with me not podcasting. And yet, here we go. It's going to be fun to talk about White Electric Wizard, and so I will in a moment. But let us begin with, once again, returning our attention to the Electric Moon. While I will podcast one more time in this moon, it'll be really to identify the finishing point of it and the transition into the self-existing moon, which happens this week on Friday. And so we have 4 days left in the electric moon. The question we've been asking for the duration is, how can I best be of service? And we would have gotten some answers. And I think part of what happens in the front end of a year, a natural time year, the first few moons, is that we also might discover how we cannot best be of service, because we thought, well, I'd like to do this with my year, and it seems like it has service in mind, and then nothing really materializes to give evidence that that is our path in this electric moment. But let me really diagram this for you in case you're either a long-term follower of the calendars or you want to be. The way that I see things working is that in the magnetic moon, which is always July 26th for 28 days, the first of our 13 moon year, we attract our purpose for the year. And within that purpose is a challenge. So the first moon is really busy. It's full of things aiming straight for us as part of our karmic destiny. But some of those things that come towards us into our field of vision or experience fall away from us in the lunar moon. I mean, that's just what I sort of perceive, is some of what we attract as our destiny is immediate, and some of it is somehow not quite timely. And so it's pared away in the lunar moon. It just disappears. And I find that very perplexing, if not totally upsetting at times, because I feel like if it's busy in my mind and heart in the magnetic moon, then I want it to be part of my year's unfolding. And so when it doesn't materialize in the same way in the lunar moon, when it's sort of absent as if it's just been disappeared, I mean, I really find that to be one of the challenging points, which is the perfect word, of the calendar. Just like, why do I have to attract it if it's not going to take shape, form, or have life force? And I think the answer that I've
grappled with or forced myself to estimate is that it's just kind of like it's part of what we're attracting, but it's being held at a distance. And you might find it again in the planetary moon of the year. Because I think that we attract our purpose and everything that includes or entails in the first moon, and then our biggest point of manifestation, the highest peak of our waveform for the 13 moon wave spell, is the planetary moon, a month that happens in the front end of May, late April and May. And so when we get to the planetary moon, we get everything back that includes what we've been sort of tracking all along as our very obvious present time invigorated purpose, and the stuff that we haven't seen in nine moons, because that was our challenge, and it either disappeared in kind of an occult form of hiding, you know, it just veered off in its own direction because it's just not for us to grapple with now, but then it comes around and we see it again in our path. It becomes part of what carries us to the summit. Another way you could look at it would be very much like technical, like, well, look, it's a waveform. It is us climbing a mountain of water. And our obstacle is something we have to climb over, you know, what challenges us, what is going to be hard about our year's summit to this peak of the wave is also going to lift us up. So as we climb up and over the thing that stands in our way, we gain all this altitude. And so when we're in the planetary moon, we feel the overcoming of the obstacle, but we also have the obstacle right beneath our feet. You know, it isn't gone or disappeared. And if it's the thing that we couldn't find again after the lunar moon occurred, you know, we got this real bead on it in the magnetic moon of the year, and then it didn't seem to have any active role in our life. It can show itself again in the planetary moon, because that's when we identify. Well, we don't identify the challenge, but that's when our challenge is integrated with our purpose for all time. They're wed together. So like the triumph of getting to the top of the mountain is that the mountain that stood in our way is now beneath us, supporting us, lifting us up. You know, I'll talk about that as a metaphor over and over in different ways, so I'm not going to beat it to death here, but just essentially what it means is when we encounter something really difficult in our lives that seems to impede our growth or progress or peace, it can be described that by grappling with that, integrating it, and in that sort of physicalized vision, overcoming it, being able to cross over it, even if it's quite a climb, we are, you know, we close in on heaven and all the divine force that's there to really beam that sunshine splendor on us. So it's worthy. It's worthy to live a life of facing challenge and slowly overcoming it. And I think that people that follow natural time, or at least this is my truth, are of the temperament and sort of spiritual discipline to greet life as a series of challenges that we get to face, invigorate ourselves with it, you know, like the intensity of dealing with it, and then feel this kind of celebratory accomplishment when we have, in fact, managed to, as I say, overcome the challenge or integrate it. Because really, when I say integrate a challenge, it's the same thing. We overcome it by being lifted up by it. It becomes part of our rooting. It's not like we just step up over it and beyond it, but rather we really wed ourselves to the strength of everything that we've been able to surpass or elevate past. That's not the right word, because I'm talking about not really passing it. I'm talking about letting it be part of our thickness of bearing, our depth, because we really were able to face something that others might run from. I think that's the work here. I don't know if I'm just applying that's sort of what I do in life from Midwestern stock that lived through the Depression in the United States. I mean, I really am raised out of that, and maybe I just apply all that to my natural time practice and you get to reap the benefits of my personal angle. Hopefully it's beneficial. So that was a long discourse on challenge, obstacle, speaking from a lunar day. It's okay that I got into that rabbit hole. And now let's look at the electric day, because it's a magic turtle day. It's an electric day within an electric moon. And so you get to have a really, I think, direct and explicit moment of asking again, what is my service? How can I best be of service this year? I mean, it will be the question for the wave spell, the yellow human wave spell. But I think at this point, we're really interested in getting these last indications of the moon, the larger question of how can I best be of service for this year. And it'll be also simultaneously, that's called a magic turtle moment, right? Because it's an electric day within the electric moon. It's a doubling of energy. And then it is also the white wizard day within the white wizard year, which is certainly magical. And you can then look at the question of, you know, how is my white wizard year progressing? This is going to be one of like how many? I think this would be the fourth one we've had since the day that began the year. The year began white magnetic wizard. And then we would have had a white galactic. And then we would have had a white lunar. That's two. And then we would have had white solar. And then we would then have white electric. So that's correct. It's been, the fourth time since the beginning of the year that we've been able to check in and say, well, how's this white wizard year progressing? What lessons does it have for me? It's all going to be distilled into the sort of microcosmic moment of the white wizard day. It's a day that can remind us of the larger year. And once again, we're in the first stages of a 13-year wave spell that's oriented to white wizard. So it's really early on. We don't have to have any clear, defined understanding or intent. We shouldn't. We should just be watchful and see what's coming our way. But I think it's just a nice touchstone and reverence, a point of reference. Like, okay, hey, white wizard, the shaman, the day of the shaman and the shaman that I am and the shaman that I meet and the sort of fairy tale level or mythological enchantment that we're now living. I bow to that, or I thank it for its qualities of magic and connectivity. And by that I mean, I just think that when we're living out something that feels more like a fairy tale or a myth than just everyday life, you know, without that orientation of white wizard as the umbrella to our experience, we, you know, things are more random and I would say more normalized or boring, you know. In a white wizard year, there is this vibration of being caught in an organized story that serves to both better us or get us somewhere forward on a journey, but through all these detours of self-understanding and learning about, you know, the healing and harming energies, just making distinctions between like white magic and black magic, but living in the realm where magic is predominant. Magic meaning, like, what is white wizard magic to me? White wizard magic, just like I said, it just means like when you read a fairy tale when you're young, you do it to learn about fantastical things and to be impressed by magic or things that seem impossible coming true. You know, people fall asleep for 20 years. People get ants to help them move giant piles of grain. In these mythologies and these beautiful imaginative tales, there are things that can't be explained, and there are arcs into deep suffering, but they're always resolved by coming to a conclusion where there is more greater peace, harmony, and the end of a tragic cycle. And so I think we live according to that kind of identification in White Wizard time, and we're in our White Wizard year, most pointedly, and then we'll be in this realm for 13 years, and to have a White Wizard day is just a tiny piece, a small turning in the, you know, storytelling, the pages of this larger book that we're working our way through with its lessons. And I wanted to just juxtapose that with, like, okay, so then you have a blue storm year, like next year, and then I don't think the year is about any of those things. You know, I think magic exists in all of the tribes. So whenever we have a tribe orientation, we're taken into their specific teaching on magic. But a blue storm year will feel a lot like the blue storm wave spell we just went through, which is chaotic and a force of nature. You know, it doesn't originate from a human, not even a shaman. It comes from something that doesn't use human language or human limitation. And let me just, I'm making this segue sort of accidentally to just, you know, recall the blue storm wave spell that was, that has ended in the last couple of days, because, you know, it's fresh and we can take a note and then anticipate, like, oh, and then we get to go into blue lunar storm the year eventually, not for a long time, not for almost, you know, just moon after moon, but on July 26, 2020, we're going to turn into the blue storm teaching for the year. And so how that is different is it just feels like what you do is bear down as if you were in a severe, you know, category 5 style storm surge, and that what you're doing is surviving against the elements, surviving against much, you know, stronger power than humans could ever even invent. I mean, I guess we invent, like, destructive power, and that's what a storm also can hold, but just gale force winds and driving rains and copious amounts of water that's accumulated, like, just really big movements. Like, a human being without technological help can't accomplish that, and that's what we learn for a blue storm time. So I think, turning to the yellow human wave spell that we're in, that it's easier than the blue storm wave spell that was. And I'm a blue storm, like, you know that, because I have to, you know, talk it up to a certain degree. But I just went through my wave spell, and it was absolutely not as uncomfortable or upsetting as other blue storm wave spells, but it is arduous. It is just what I was just envisioning, you know. It's just to stand in a time frame that beats down on us with a very impressive, sometimes oppressive force, and to just take it. You know, it's how I think a lot of animals feel at the hand of human invention. It's, I think, how a lot of animals feel being out on the front lines of dealing with climate change, you know, that they're affected without their own inventions to make it easier. I just feel like that's how it was to go through the blue storm wave spell, was to be a polar bear, you know, swimming for an iceberg that no longer exists. That's how I felt in my humanity. Just like, this is a lot. This is a lot. I don't know how to do this. This feels really grim. And then now it's ended. And it's not all a lot easier. It's not all exactly perfect. And I actually have lots of issues with the yellow human experience per the tribe descriptor, per the wave spells and days as they arise. I'll talk about that in a second. But it is just like, okay, after all of that experience of being either in the center of a storm, like this kind of cloistered stillness that is oppressive in its own way, which is where I spent a lot of the Blue Storm Wave Spell, not thrashing about, watching my life, you know, surge and then falter and, you know, destructive elements taking me out. Like, I didn't have that, but I had that just stultifying, like I'm trapped, you know, either I'm inside because the storm outside has kept me captive, you know, without a way to access the outdoors. Like, that would be a metaphor, not true. I live in ever dry and arid Southern California where we had no rain in the blue storm time, but that experience of being stuck without free movement because something larger than me was impeding my freedom, that happened. But then, you know, there's that other thing that I aim for and advise people is like, just do whatever you can to center yourself in the blue storm time, because you will find that that centering takes you to the center or the eye of the storm, where there is more safety than flailing in the, you know, outer tendrils of a really high pressure, fast changing storm front. If you can get into the eye, then there is that kind of transcendent stillness. But I just think that you're still, it's almost like you're in the cockpit watching the destruction happen all around you, and you might not be personally affected, but you can't deny that it's happening. And that sounds like my blue storm wave spell experience. A lot of existential crisis, just more than I expected, and, you know, was comfortable feeling just upset with what humans have wrought on other species and themselves. And simultaneously, there was all of this completely sort of rewarding change, revelation that happened politically, culturally, in the blue storm time. We could say that was when the impeachment process began in the United States, and it felt like a reckoning, you know, like, oh, things are starting, like the storm that came in to clear all this pressure and obfuscation, which is also a word for lying, and, you know, obscures you from being able to see the source light because there's so much either darkness or cloudy, opaque behavior. And then we get to yellow human, where we get to be illuminated because the sun is back, you know, that clarifying, warming presence of our creator, which is what I think of the sun. You know, that's, if we're going to talk about God, I'm talking about the sun that lights the day and warms us and allows us to be alive, then that has returned after the blue storm wave spell. And if you want the lyricism, it's then that we step into our yellowness as humans, that the yellow human time is when we as humans get to be most brightly allied with the sun and the rays of light that are produced there, and that our auras get to be sparkling and yellow, and that we get to emanate a certain kind of glow that is a combination of life force and radiance. I mean, that's just stage one of yellow human. I'm sure that each of us will hit a kind of wall where we either grapple with the sort of ego side of yellow human, where we think we're so enlightened that we're going to, you know, enforce our views and preferences, or use our enlightenment to, you know, be really productive. And that productivity looks like taking the resources that naturally occur on the planet and manipulating them to our greedy end. That would be perhaps something we'd have to reckon with a bit in this wave spell. It's too soon to tell. If it's day two, the lunar day, and I'm chatting about illumination, I think that means exactly what I've already diagrammed. This is a bit easier than the storm that was. And yet, we're so used to looking at odd or off center or just horrible human behavior through the headlines, that I think the way humans are showing their influence on the earth and in our synapses or our minds, how we witness our own humanity, is already kind of at the fore of every wave spell. You know, it's about humans and how our enterprises have made it really hard for us to hang on to our own existence here as earthlings. And so that continues. It's not like, oh, finally we're at yellow human. What's up with humans? We've been in the storm. We've been in the death realm. We've been, you know, in the Skywalker time, replicated by this day. But what are humans doing? Like, we know all the time because humans have surged and exploded, ballooned, and taken up so much space, like inflammation. Like, we're so sick, we've swollen and taken up too much space. So in this wave spell, I don't know, maybe there'll be a further reckoning. I talk big game, but I don't actually know what to say about yellow human besides the things I've always said. Like, it's yellow human, it's the Homo Illuminati or something that was invented as a term. Not Homo sapiens, but Homo Illuminus. You know, we're just like graduating from being just regular people on Earth to being little emissaries of divinity on Earth. That was before, that was 10 years ago, when you're still able to be like blindly New Age and have faith that we're all like becoming just the alchemy of divinity was upon all of us, and we're just aiming for pure light. And then maybe back then I was super cynical and I would be like, yeah, I mean, pure light can mean back to ether, no physical body. So if we all feel like, oh yeah, humans are just getting more and more enlightened and pretty soon we'll just be pure light, that could be our vanishing, our extinction. Oh my. So quick future focus on the next few days. Pretty much covered white electric wizard. And we're going to move then to blue self-existing eagle. That's Tuesday. And I don't know what to say about that. It's a blue eagle day guided by blue monkey. The blue monkey day that we had, blue cosmic monkey, seemed, it's monkeys annoying. It just means like what you think is going to happen with your life is actually all an illusion. Ha ha, it's so fun. It's like a magic show. You thought it was real and it's disappeared. You know, and at the same time, like, oh, you didn't know that there was a bouquet of flowers in that hat. Like, good things happen. But blue self-existing eagle is guided by blue monkey. And it just occurs to me to, like, you know, we're going to have an eagle day where we're really visioning, but we're going to have some childlike, magical spectacle and maybe even sort of the practical joke side of being silly and young. Leading us. And we can say, oh, the form of service that a human being can take, because it's a yellow human wave spell, we're going to be dealing with the day, the self-existing day, as our form of service. Like, oh, a yellow human's form of service is to have a visionary mind, to be able to see the big picture. I think that's true. How do I, as a yellow human, best empower myself? That'll be yellow overtone warrior. And it is by fighting the right fight. Let's be reminded, it doesn't just mean fighting. Yellow Warrior Day will have some kind of conflict, but we hope it's the kind of conflict that has waited 20 days since the last Yellow Warrior Day to be important enough to crack our calm, get us riled up so we take a stand, that we question authority, that we are inquisitive, that, you know, we're not just like, it's a day of active engagement, and we've trained for it. And so that's part of our humanity and empowering ourselves. But it, you know, it's the difference between just being bitchy, angry, volatile, explosive, apt to fight, scrappily. That's not a prime focus of Yellow Warrior. It's more to protect people with our fierceness to go out and fight, because otherwise vulnerable aspects of self or others would be at risk because of the surfacing or an onslaught of dark forces, heavy forces, destructive forces. And that's a good way to take us back to the White Wizard aspect that we keep in the background of our lives, that everything we're doing is kind of this vacillation between the white magic and the black magic, but we can't have one without the other, and we are weaving through each. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in the Kesh.